And we're holding on page Chofches in Sota Ois Samach Aleph. We learned yesterday, we were talking about the point that Schus can suspend a Sota's punishment for up to 3 years, and we were discussing what kind of Schus exactly, and the Gemara had brought a Braisa that gave a long metaphor about a person traveling on a dark road and not being exposed to all kinds of dangers and also not knowing where he's going to go. So we said first he has a torch, and that protects him from some of the dangers. That represents the Schus of Mitzvahs. Then dawn breaks, and now he's saved from more dangers, which represents the power of learning Torah. And then we said that when he reaches he reaches a crossroads, then now he knows which way he's going. Nitzel Mikulam, now he's saved from everything because now he also knows which way to go. So we explain what the torch represents and what Amud HaShachar represents. So now, what about the third one? Higil Parshas Drachim. We said once he reaches the crossroads, my Parshas Drachim, in this moshul, what is the nimshul of Parshas Drachim? What does that represent in terms of a person's journey through life? So the Gemara, in other words, the point is, the Braisa is clearly telling us that whatever Parshas Drachim is, it saves him from, at this point, he's not exposed to any further dangers. So now we have to ask, what stage of life is there where a person is now safe from any of the dangers that we talked about, from the Yetzer Hara and bad friends and the various nisyonis involving making Parnasa and Yisurim and all those kinds of things? So my parsha is Drachim. Omer Rav Chista is a Tamar Chacham v'yemam Misa. So the first answer, Rav Chista says, this refers to a Tamar Chacham who reaches the day of his death and he hasn't done Averis. So now, up to that point, as Maharsha points out, we have the famous thing in Pirkei Avos, Al Tamen Ba'atzmach Ad Yom Mosach, don't trust yourself until, a person should never trust himself until he dies. We see Yochanan Kohen Gadol was Kohen Gadol for 80 years and then became a Tzaduki. But when a person is dying and he's been free of Averis all this time, then yes, now he doesn't have a suffix anymore. Now, obviously, he knows he's not going to sin anymore, and therefore he can be sure that now he's going where he's supposed to go. Even Yaakov points out another possible meaning of it also, that Tamar Chacham v'yama Misa would mean also where he still remembers his Torah when he dies, as opposed to, for example, the Gemara tells us about Doyeg, that he was made to forget his Torah before he died, and that was part of his punishment. But here we're talking about a Tamar Chacham who reaches his yama Misa still in full possession of his Torah. You even have Ad Kedekach. You have an extreme example of that, as the Gemara tells us in Moed Katan, that one day Rav Ashi is walking in the street and sees the Malach HaMavis, and he tells him, your time is up. And Rav Ashi tells him, I want 30 extra days to review my learning one last time so that I can come to the Olam HaEmes with my learning well in hand. And so the Malach HaMavis actually grants him that 30-day extension. And then afterwards, he comes back and Rav Ashi says, what's your rush? And then Malach HaMavis explains to him that there's somebody else who's going to be taking over the Rosh Hashiva ship and your Malchus can't overlap his. But we see, in other words, there's this point that a great Tamar Chacham comes to the Olam HaEmes in full possession of his Torah. So that's one answer. Rav Nachman or Yitzchak Amar. Rav Nachman Yitzchak says another answer. We don't have to talk about Yom HaMisa. Zet Tamar Chacham v'Yiras Chet. It refers to a Tamar Chacham who's achieved Yiras Chet. So he's learned Torah and now he has Yiras Chet. So now the Torah itself will teach him how to do the mitzvahs and stay away from the Yisurim. And Yiras Chet will keep him on the right path so he doesn't end up following his Yetzer Hara. Now, you have different degrees of Yiras Chet. So Ben Yehoyada points out, we're not talking about Yiras HaOnesh. That might not be enough. We're talking about the higher levels of Yira that are talked about in Tanya and in various other Sforim. You have Yira of that a person doesn't want to be separated from the Eibishter. Yira Boshes, that he feels himself constantly in Hashem's presence and he would be embarrassed to do anything wrong. So then you can be either way. When a person has one of those levels of Yira together with his learning Torah, then he can be sure that he's on the right path and he's going to remain on it. So that's the second answer. Mazutra gives a third answer of the metaphor of Parshas Drachim. Zat Tamar Chacham de Salkele Shmaita Libe de Hilchsa. It refers to a Tamar Chacham who is able to come to correct conclusions that are valid al pi halacha. So when he sees that he has that siyata d'shmaya, that what he says in Torah is accepted by his chaverim, and he's able to pass in kalocha, then we know, now we know nitzel mikulam, now we know that he's safe from all those things. He has Torah, and mitzvah, so therefore that saves him from the Yitzhara and Chet. But is he going to, so Rashi explains, actually, the point is, according to this explanation, the Parshas Drachim is not so much that he might be susceptible to Averis, it's more the point, when he reaches the Parshas Drachim, according to this, when he's able to come up with correct conclusions, Api Halacha, that shows that, in other words, he's going to continue to have that Siyata Dishmaya, and therefore that his learning Torah is going to be on the correct level. And Marsha actually says it may also mean that it also saves him from Averis, because if he's not coming up with Shmaitza Libidin Hilchasa, the fact is he might come to mistaken conclusions in Halacha, and that might lead him in the wrong way, as we find, for example, with Shoal. So, but if he has the ability to come up with Shmaitza Libidin Hilchasa, then that itself means, in other words, that he's being protected Mina Shemayim from succumbing to Averis. Tosfos also points out another point that still, how does that save him for Yetzer Hara? Fine, when he's learning Torah, wonderful, that saves him, but he's not constantly learning Torah. And the answer is, and here you see from Tosfos the definition of what a real Talmud Chacham is. Stam Talmud Chacham, actually, Tosfos says, a Talmud Chacham almost by default, because he learns Torah, Torosei Umnosei. So his Torah is his occupation. In other words, Tosfos is not lobbed after. We're talking about somebody like Rashbi who literally is learning Torah all the time and does nothing else, but we're talking about the Pashto, it's a lesser level Talmud Chacham, where still he's focused very much on Torah, so therefore so he's constantly thinking about it. He doesn't go Dalet Amos below Torah. Any place he goes, he's constantly thinking in Torah, and therefore that, as we learned yesterday, helps protect him from the Yetzer Hara. So now, again, when we're saying that he has Shmaitza, Libid Hilchasa, that he has the ability to come to correct conclusions, Api Torah, that shows that according to Halacha, then that shows that his mindset is in tune with Hashem's, with Chochmosa, with Tzoni Shalach Kodesh Baruch Hu, and that he has that special Siyata Dishmaya, and therefore he has more of a reason to be, he's still Atam and Vatam Chad Yom Mosef, but he has much more of a reason to be, to figure that he's going to be safe as long as he continues in that way. So the Gemara, that's the meaning of Parshas Drachim. The Gemara continues. The Maral, by the way, makes a very interesting point over here. These three answers, Rav Chista's, Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman Ba'itzvot, and Mar Zutra, also reflect the three cavern, Chesed, Gvura, and Tiferes. The Yom HaMisa, in the sense that now the Neshama is free of the body and all of the enmeshments of the body, that's like Chesed. That's the Kava Yamin. The Yiras Chet is an illustration of Kava Smol, of Gvura, where a person feels a sense of Yira. Yira, after all, comes from Gvura, as talked about in many places in Tanya. And then when it comes to the truth of Torah, truth, Emes, is part of Tiferes. It's Midas Emes, like Yaakov Avinu. So therefore, that represents the Kava and Sori. So therefore, so you have one of these three, is the Parshas Drachim. The Gemara continues. Now, the Braith had said, Dover Acha, another explanation, Avera Mechaba Mitzvah Vein Avera Mechaba Torah. We said another advantage of Torah over mitzvahs is that an Averis can extinguish the schus of a mitzvah, but an Averis cannot extinguish the schus of Torah that a person learned. Now, we did talk about, we're talking about where he learned Torah Lashma in the first place, and we're talking about where he's not Toyal or Rishonis, where he doesn't regret the Torah that he learned before, but basically, in other words, as long as he learned Torah Lashma, then we're saying that even he does Averis, that won't extinguish the schus of that. So the Gemara points out, Amar Rabbi Yosef, first of all, Darshei Rabbi Menachem Rabbi Yosef, or Yosi, Lahai Krok is Sinai. This pasuk that we're saying, that Dover Acha, Veda Mechaba Mitzvah, Veinam Veda Mechaba Torah, in this connection, Rabbi Menachem, Rabbi Yosef, or Rabbi Yosi, Darshan, the following pasuk that we're going to quote, like Sinai, in other words, as clearly as when it was given, as when it was given by Har Sinai. Is what a wonderful explanation this is, and you don't want to know how good it is. If Doeg and Achitofel had Darshan the following, and Darshan the Pasuk. Now, the Pasuk we quoted before was, we said in the Braisa, Mayim Rabim Lo Yuchlo V'chavas V'ava, many waters cannot extinguish the love. And we explained, so the whole Braisa was Menachem Rabbi Yosi. It's a Jew Darash of Menachem Rabbi Yosi, Ki Ner Mitzvah Torah Ur, and he brought the whole Moshul, and he ended off with this Mayim Rabim Lo Yuchlo V'chavas V'ava. So Menachem Rabbi Yosi gave a really, Rabbi Yosef is saying that he gave a really beautiful explanation, like from Sinai, of this Pasuk, Mayim Rabim, and you want to know how great this Darash is. says, V'umolid Rashu Doeg V'Achitofel Hochi, if Doeg and Achitofel had also thought to darshan the Pasuk the same way as Rabbi Nachum and Rabbi Yossi did hundreds of years after them, Lo Rodfu Vasa David, then they never would have pursued David and harassed him and persecuted him. Because the whole reason that one thing was, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, they figured once he went wrong in the matter of Bathsheba, then therefore he's vulnerable, he's lost his siyata d'shmaya, and therefore they have the ability to get him, but they didn't realize that ein avera mechaber Torah, and therefore that the source of David's having learned Torah all this time will protect him. So if they had realized that, they never would have started up with him. Now, Tosfos Shantz points out on the side of the Gemara that the word Doeg over here seems to be a mistake. Doeg and Achitofel were the famous two enemies of David. However, Doeg was in Shaul's times, which is long, long before the whole affair with Bathsheba. And the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin that he died at age only 33. In fact, the Gemara says he and Achitofel were not even contemporaries. Achitofel was born after Doeg died. So you can't say that Doeg is harassing and persecuting David because of that. So Tosfos Shantz says you have to take out the word Doeg. Very often the Gemara mentions Doeg and Achitofel together, so that's probably how it crept in. Marsha points out another point as well. The pasuk that we quoted, Mayim Rabim Lo Yuchlo L'Chabes Es Ava, is from Shir Hashirim. That was written by Shlomo HaMelech. That's after Achitofel's times also. Achitofel died during Avshalom's rebellion. We learned earlier in Sota that he strangled himself. That was a few years before David passed away. Shlomo was about 7 or 8 years old at the time, and he only composed Sefer Shir Hashirim some years later. So Marsha says doesn't literally mean this pasuk, but it means the concept that was expressed in this pasuk, as we've talked about before. There's a Tosfos in Gittin that we learned a while back that says that often we have the Gemara will put words of pesukim into the mouths of people who lived much later, because in other words they knew the concept that's expressed in that pasuk, even though it was only expressed in those words and in that pasuk much later.
Why was it mentioned the Doeg at two different times?
Because the fact is they were both David's bitter enemies. They were both trying to get him killed, so therefore No, that's true. Doeg was earlier, Achitofel was later. But nevertheless, when you look at the totality of David's career, from when he first came to public notice, when he was first suggested to be the musician for Shaul, until shortly before he passed away, he had many enemies over the years. But the two really big ones were Doeg earlier and Achitofel later. So therefore, the Gemara often puts them together. They also have this in common: they were both great Talmid Chachamim, but they had very flawed, bad midos. And there's a number of other similarities. Oh, they both lost their chelik and amba, so the Gemara often mentions them together. So that's Tosfos Shantz saying that over here, the Doeg doesn't belong over here, it just means Achitofel. Anyway, the point is then that if he had realized the concept that later on, Shlomo, his own great-grandson, by the way, is going to express in this pasuk, Mayim Rabim Lo Yuchlo L'Chabes Es Ava, then he never would have started up with David, because he would have realized that Hashem is still on David's side. Dichtiv, and we find in the pasuk that David says on himself, he begs Hashem to save him from his enemies, Lamer, where they're saying, Elikim Azova, Hashem has abandoned him, Ridfu v'sifsuhu, chase after him and catch him, ki ein matzil, because nobody will save him. So in other words, this is Achitofel and the other people in Avshalom's army who are saying to themselves, you know what, that's it, David has forfeited the protection of Hashem as a result of the whole story with Bathsheba, and therefore now we can get him, and we won't be punished if we kill him, because we're the Aveda that he did extinguished all his chosin. Well, that's the problem. They didn't realize that this point that Rabbi Nachum and Rabbi Yossi had said, that an Aveda, such as the thing of Bathsheba, even if we take it in its most simple sense that it really was an Aveda of Eishes Ish, that could extinguish the schus of David's mitzvahs, but it would never extinguish the schus of his Torah. So because David had learned Torah on such a high level, and he also had the ability, like we said before, he had the special siyata d'shmaya to come to correct conclusions al pi halacha. So therefore, Averus can never extinguish that. And if Achitofel and company had realized that, they never would have started up with David, because they would have realized that he still has Hashem on his side. Even though they were Talmid Chacham, they didn't chapsuch at this point. Yeah. So the Gemara continues. In addition, Ion Yaakov also talks about that maybe they didn't realize, they thought that the Avera Mechava Mitzvah, I mean, it can mean that he won't get a schar l'osed lovay, but also it can mean that Hashem will not protect him anymore. After all, we see every Yid has mitzvahs, and yet a Yid can, and yet Jews can lose battles. So therefore, so you can say that it saves from poronos, from accidents and things that might happen. So as opposed to here they thought, in other words, that if all we're dealing with is his mitzvahs, then that's not going to protect him from things that Bali Bechira can do to him, such as them who are Bali Bechira, and they're going to go and pursue him. But again, they didn't realize that Torah is on a whole different level. Okay. Next. Given that the Gemara mentions in Sanhedrin the point that Achitofel and Doeg as well didn't learn Torah Lashma, that might be why they didn't realize, because they didn't know this, so they didn't realize this concept that Torah Lashma is a whole different kind of thing than the kind of Torah they were learning. Okay. Now, having quoted the first half of the pasuk, and you can quoted the first half of the pasuk, Ma'im Rabim Lo Yuchlo V'Chabas Isa'aba, the pasuk after the pasuk continues in a Horis Lo Yishtefua, fine, it says rivers won't wash it away, but then the pasuk continues, Im Yitin Ishes Kalahoin Beisei Ba'aba, if a person were to give the entire fortune of his household for this love, Boiz Yavuzu Loi, they would mock him. So now let's deal with that part of the pasuk. My boys, Yavuzuloi, what would they mock him for? On the face of it, if a person is, if we're talking about the Ava, is the Ava of Torah, So what does it mean? If a person is going to give his fortune in order to learn Torah, that's not something to mock him for. And especially, Maharshal says, why the double expression, boys, Yavuzuloi? So it means, Omar Ullah, so Ullah explains like this. We do have a concept of a Yisachar Zvulun partnership, where you can have a Talmid Chacham is going to learn Torah, and he'll have a rich Yid who will support him and share in the schar of that. That's fine, and that's not Boiz Yavuzu Loi. However, as we're going to show the point, that if he tries to get that schar afterwards, after the Talmid Chacham has already learned, then we're saying Boiz Yavuzu Loi. So we're going to give several examples. Omar Ullah, Loi Kishimin Achi Azariah. The Pasuk is not referring to the example of, for example, Shimon, the brother of Azariah. He's mentioned in a Mishnah at the beginning of Zvachim. So Shimon himself was a Talmud Chacham. His brother, Azariah, was rich and supported him. So Shimon was the Yisachar. Azariah was the Zvulun who supported him, and he gets a chelek in his Torah. And for that reason, Shimon is called the brother of Azariah, to highlight this point that his brother Azariah enabled him to learn Torah, the Menuchas HaNefesh. The Rambam, by the way, says that this Azariah is none other than the father of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. You have a Gemara in Yevamos where when Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and a couple of the other Chachamim go to visit Rabbi Dosa ben Hokinas, an old Talmud Chacham from earlier generations, and then he's introduced to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah for the first time. He's very surprised. Yesh ben la Azariah chavirenu. Really, our chaver Azariah has such a distinguished son. So that's why, because Azariah many years earlier had been supporting his brother Shimon in learning Torah, and Rabbi Dosa ben Hokinas remembered him very gratefully for that. Anyway. So not like him. What Azariah did in getting his, in giving business and giving parnasa to Shimon so that Shimon could learn Torah undisturbed and Azariah would share in the schar, that's fine. The loik of Yochanan de Benasiya, similarly also not like Rabbi Yochanan with the family of the Nasi, where the household of the Nasi would support Rabbi Yochanan again so he could learn Torah. On the face of it, it means the regular Rabbi Yochanan throughout Shas, although we don't really find any place explicitly in Shas that he was supported by the family of the Nasi. And there's a medrash actually in connection with these psukim in Shir HaShirim. Where Rabbi Yochanan came from a very rich family, and one time he's walking around among the various fields and vineyards over there, and he points to this plot and that plot, and he says, this used to belong to me, and I sold it so I could learn Torah undisturbed. And it was like this, otherwise I have to deal with sharecroppers and whatnot, like this, I didn't want that. And after a while, his Talmud, I think it's Rabbi Chiya Ba'aba, in the story, he says, he was very disturbed by Yitzhak Rebbe, then what'd you leave for yourself for your old age? And Rabbi Yochanan says, you don't think it's worthwhile that I gave up things of Olam Hazeh that was created in 6 days in favor of the Torah, which was given in 40 days. Anyway, the point is, so on the face of it, then he was supported by the family of the Nasi, although some of the Mephoshim say that maybe not. Maybe the Rabbi Yochanan de Benasi over here is a different Rabbi Yochanan who was regularly supported by the family of the Nasi. Again, that's fine. They made a Yisachar Zvulun partnership, and they're entitled to a chelek in the schar of his Torah. Ela kehilul v'shevna. Rather, the example of Boiz Yavuzu Loi that the Pasuk is referring to is the example of Hillel and Shevna, where Shevna was Hillel's brother. By the way, Tosfos elsewhere talks about, it's not so simple that his name was Shevna anyway. We do find a character in Sefer Yeshaya named Shevna, but he was a Rosha. and you don't name after Rishoyim. So Tosfos discusses in a couple of places, it's possible, if you analyze the Pesukim over there, it's possible that there were two Shevnas, and one of them was a Rosha, and the other one we don't know about, so we can assume that he was a decent fellow. But on the other hand, Tosfos says that the other possibility is maybe the name is not Shevna with a Vez, but rather Shachna with a Chof. Beis and Chof, of course, are easily interchanged in writing, so the name could have been Shin Chof Nun Aleph, which would be Shachna. Whatever the case, we'll go with Shevna, because that's how we have it over here. What happened? Hillel Osek Batorah. Hillel was learning Torah, and he was desperately poor. We know the famous story where he couldn't even afford the small coin for the fee to go into the Beis Medrash, and so he went up to the roof and was listening through the skylight, and three amos of snow fell on him, v'cholo, yeah. So he was learning Torah in those desperately poor situation. Shevna of Adiska, meanwhile, Shevna was doing business and making money. L'soif, later on, after Hillel had learned Torah for a long time and become an accomplished Talmud Chacham, Omalei, so Shevna says, Tonere v'niflag, come, let's make a partnership and we'll split up the schos of your learning Torah. Now, that's too late already. He already learned Torah. He can't sell that schos of Torah. Yotzeh Nela, when the Zvulun comes in beforehand, he's enabling the Yisachar to learn Torah, so therefore he has every right to get a schar, and it's brought lahalacha. You're allowed to do such a thing, and it's valid api halacha. But like this, after he learned Torah, the schar is not his anymore to sell, and therefore now the Zvulun can't get any of it. Yotzeh Baskel v'omra, at this point, the Baskel came out and announced, im yitin ishes kolhoin beisei ba'aba, if anybody would give his whole fortune of his household for the love of Torah, boiz yavuzuloi, they would mock him. So that's, in other words, that's the point. In other words, the double mocking, Marshall says, is an Olam Hazeh and an Olam Haba. So now, what would have happened if Shevna had been smart to begin with? Then we might forever call Hillel the brother of Shevna, just like we call Shimon the brother of Azariah. And therefore, every time he mentioned Hillel, then Shevna would have a schus in it. And he would get a schar in Olam Haba as well. But because he woke up too late, therefore he missed both opportunities. Boiz Yavuzuloi will mock him in Olam Hazeh and in Olam Haba, that he missed the boat. So that's what that part of the pasuk means. So one point is, yeah, again, that the Zvulun gets the reward, because without him, the Yisachar wouldn't be able to learn. With that said, by the way, the Medrash also does mention that there is, in a way, a greater schar for a Talmud Chacham who, like Hillel over here, learns when he's poor and doesn't have a Zvulun to support him, and like you have in this coming week's Pirkei Avos, Pas Melech Teichel, or Maimah Mesura Tishta, and so forth, and he does all that, and he's still Fartifsech and Torah. In a way, the schar for him is much greater. The Medrash draws a distinction in that regard, a contrast between Yisachar, who had Zvulun to support them, versus Shevet Naphtali, who did not. Shevet Naphtali, we also find, were accomplished Talmid Chachamim, but we don't find that there was any other Shevet that partnered with them and supported them so they could. So they have the greater schar of somebody who learns Torah in poverty, like Hillel did, and they don't even have somebody to support them. Next, Pista, quoting from what we learned in the Mishnah, we said that, so first we had Ben Azai saying in the Mishnah that a father should teach his daughter Torah, so this way, if it ever happens that she becomes a Soita, and her punishment is suspended for a while, then she'll know, having learned the details of Parsha Soita, she'll understand that it's not because the Mehamonim don't work, it's because the schus of Torah is saving her for a period of time. On the other hand, Rabbi Eliezer had said in the Mishnah, no, Kolam Alabitis Bitei Torah, anybody who teaches his daughter Torah, Linda Tiflus, then he's teaching her Tiflus. So we talked about the other day, Tiflus has a number of different meanings. It means like being frivolous and not serious. It means, even to a certain extent, it means a degree of znus and of inappropriate behavior. So they want to ask, what even Linda Tiflus stop with that? How could he say that teaching her Torah is teaching her Tiflus? The Torah is not Tiflus. And the answer is Ela Ke'ilu Limda Tiflus. What it means is that if he's teaching with Tiflus, so Rashi explains, because a person learns Torah, it sharpens their brain. You have a different brain after you learn in Fartifsech and Torah. She may now use that newfound sharpness and mental agility and use it for improper purposes. Now she's going to do things with Sina. She's going to know how to do things in a more concealed way and be able to get away with it. More particularly, she may even use it, for example, for Averis. There is also the point, we touched on a little bit the other day. The fact is, women are much more First of all, women are more Gashmius-oriented than men, and that has its positive thing. You know, the women run the household for that reason, for example. But you also have, for example, that sometimes men can kind of have their heads in the clouds. Women are more down to earth and know the practicalities of things. We see, for example, by Avraham and Sarah, Hashem tells Avraham to listen to whatever Sarah says because she realizes the practicalities of what's going on in the household. But besides that, also we talked about, and we're going to talk about in the next piece, that part of this idea of tifus is also physical intimacy, and women are more they're more into that. They're more touchy feely and everything, and therefore that's also their so them learning Torah when they didn't otherwise need to can backfire and make it that now they have more of an ability to use it for that rather than to be learning Torah on the level that it's supposed to be. Nowadays, again, as we talked about the other day, nowadays when anyway women are exposed to an enormous amount of tiflus from the outside world, because women are much more involved in the outside world than they were before, and as it is, they're going to school someplace or other, and if there's not a Jewish school, they're going to be going to public school or whatever. So 100-odd years ago, famously, Sotah Shneiros started the whole Beis Yaakov movement, and the Chafetz Chaim and the other Gedolei Yisrael of that time, the Gerer Rebbe and others, very warmly supported it, because nowadays, under the conditions nowadays, you can't really say there's a problem teaching her Torah, and it may teach her tiflus one way or the other. She's learning tiflus anyhow. But even before that, of course, we also talked about previously, women have to anyway learn the halachas that they need to know. There are halachas that a Jewish woman needs to know, and there's Torah sachsidus that they need to know to develop Ava and Yira of the Eibishter. So even before that, there was still an inyan to teach that. So Amar Rav Abahu, my time is Rabbi Eliezer. Why does Rabbi Eliezer say that to teach a girl Torah is like teaching her tiflus? Dichtiv, the pasuk says, Ani chochma shachanti orma. The pasuk says, I, wisdom, this is the Torah, the wisdom of Torah speaking personified, I dwell with orma. Orma means craftiness and smart, and then being smart. It means kiven shenichnas about chokma ba'adam, when chokma of Torah enters into a person, nichnas about armumis, then a certain craftiness and slyness and smart sneak in, come in as well. And therefore, so now it can be used improperly when for a man, Marsha points out, for a man, he needs it because he needs to be able to understand how Rishoyim work and be able to counteract them. We find famously by Yaakov, for example, when Rachel tells him, you know, you realize my father's a swindler. Are you going to be able to handle him? And Yaakov says, "Och v'ani b'ramos, I can match him. I can match him in his swindling." But women who are less involved, or at least in those days were less involved in the outside world, then they don't really need that. By women, noshim dait and kalas, and they may misuse it. So therefore, Rabbi Eliezer says you have no business teaching Torah to women. Tosfos even brings from a Yerushalmi, I think it is, that one time Rabbi Eliezer was a Levi, so he's entitled to Maaser Rishon. So somebody wanted to offer him an enormous amount of Maaser Rishon a woman asked Rabbi Eliezer a question involving in connection with the Chet Egel. The question and the answer itself is brought actually in the Gemara in Yuma, but the Medrash goes into further detail that she offered him, she was a rich woman, and she could offer him a lot of Maaser Rishon, which would every year, and he refused to answer her, and then later on, his son Hyrcanus says, you know, because of that, you didn't want to answer her something of Torah, then therefore, now you forfeited all that Maaser, and Rabbi Eliezer says, yeah, absolutely not, Divrei Torah are not to be given to women. You sow for Divrei Torah, while you must do Divrei Torah l'noshim, Rabbi Eliezer says, yeah. Anyway, Rabbanan, so what about the Rabbanan, meaning Ben Azai of our Mishnah, who says that a woman should learn Torah? Hai ani chochma shachanti orma mai darshi bei. What is he darshin with that pasuk? The answer is Mibor lechid Rabbi Yosi Reb Chanina. He uses it to teach us what Rabbi Yosi Reb Chanina says. Da'am Rabbi Yosi Reb Chanina, ein divrei Torah miskaimin, ela b'mish mabin atzmai aleihin orum. Divrei Torah will last by a person only when he makes himself naked over them. Meaning Rashi says, in other words, that he sets aside all of his other business and becomes poor and lacking everything, like we said before about Rabbi Yochanan, for example, that he gave up. He sold all his fields and vineyards and real estate and whatnot so he can completely focus on Torah. So that's what we're saying, that Divrei Torah are miskayim only by somebody who does that, who frees himself from as much as possible from involvement in business and whatever and becomes an oni. Rashi gives another girsa, and another explanation, not shemamid atzmai, but shemesim atzmai, orum aleha. Meaning, in other words, that he makes him say, meaning, according to the first explanation, orum would mean naked. So now the pasuk says ani choch mashach anti orma. Keep in mind the shortish ayin resh mem in Lashon Kodesh has a couple of different meanings. It can mean crafty, like v'hanocha shaya arum. It can mean naked, like vayu shneim arumim. So the first exponent, so the first girsa of Rashi. So Rabbi Eliezer's explanation of nichnas by amumis is the first one, that it means craftiness. The first meaning, Rashi's first explanation of Rabbi Yosi ben Chanina Elab Misha Mamid Atzma Alein Orum is taking Orum in the sense of naked. The second explanation of Rashi goes back to the idea that it means crafty, that it means sly and finding ways to accomplish things. Namely, the person works. He comes up with strategies to learn as much as possible and to retain as much as possible. To learn a little at a time and review it over and over. To learn from many different people. So that kind of thing. He makes himself crafty and he finds smart, sneaky ways to be able to learn Torah and develop as much knowledge of Torah as possible. Maharshal says another possibility. It can mean Orum as in naked. He acts as though he's naked rather than showing off that he's a Talmid Chacham. So in other words, he could be presenting himself as I know so much, I don't need a Rebbe. Or he can be Mason Asma Orem and say, no, I'm still lacking so much in Torah and I need a Rebbe. So Shanema, Ani Chochma, Shachanti Orma. So according to any of those explanations, then it's nothing to do with what Rabbi Eliezer is saying that Divrei Torah bring a certain slyness into a person and that's inappropriate for women, but rather it has a different meaning. So Omer Rabbi Yochanan, in this connection, Rabbi Yochanan says, "In Divrei Torah Miskaimin, Ela B'Misha Meisim Atzmi K'Misha Eini Yadeya." Divrei Torah will last only by a person who makes himself as though he doesn't know. So the word Yadeya is in parenthesis because you have two different possible gilsois and two different explanations. Meisim Atzmi K'Misha Eini would be that he acts as though he considers himself as though he doesn't exist. He has bittul, and Divrei Torah will last by a person who has that sense of bittul. She'eni yodeya would mean that he acts as though he doesn't know, and he still has who to learn from. Maharshal says that fits better with his explanation of the previous thing. The Misha Maman Asmele and Orem means he acts as if he doesn't know, and he still needs to learn from everybody else. Such a person, Shenema v'achochma ma'ayin timotze, as the posit says, chochma is found from ayin. In the simple sense, it's a question, from where is chochma found? But in other words, here we understand it. Chochma is found from ayin, from somebody who acts like he's ayin, like he doesn't have a mitzvah, that he's bottle. We know in Chassidus you also have the idea that it means ayin, as in yeshme ayin, and chochma ultimately comes from there, but yeah. So according to that explanation, then there's nothing wrong with teaching women Torah, and we're not worried about the Almumas in it, because the Pasuk Ani Chochma Shachanti Orma has other meanings. Okay. Piska, so now quoting further from the Mishnah, Rabbi Yeshua Omer, that Rabbi Yeshua had said, in this connection, as far as women and Tiflus, Roitza Isha, B'Kav V'Tiflus Ma'asara Kavan U'Prishus. A woman would rather have one Kav together with Tiflus, together with the ability to be intimate and to be together with her husband, more than nine kabim of precious and precious of being separated from her husband. So again, Rashi says, then the point is, Rabbi Yeshua is kind of backing up what Rabbi Eliezer is saying. Women have a tendency to want tiflus, and tiflus and Torah don't really mix, and therefore it's better that she doesn't learn Torah. But the Gemara asks, my karma, what does the Mishnah mean? What does Rabbi Yeshua mean by that exactly? The Meiri explains, the question is, because the original Girsa of the Mishnah was something like, Roitza Isha B'Kav Tiflus Mitisha Kav and Precious, without the Vavs. A woman would rather have one Kav of Tiflus more than nine Kav of Precious. So what does that mean? Like, where isn't that fairly obvious? Anybody would want Tiflus over Precious. So the answer is Hochakoma. Roitza Isha B'Kav B'Tiflus Imoi. A woman would rather have a Kav, meaning a lower standard of living, metaphorically only one Kav of food, as long as there's Tiflus together with it, Mitisha Kav and Precious, rather than having nine Kavim, a much higher standard of living, but it's going to involve Precious being separated from her husband more often. So we talked about previously We talked about previously that Tosfos gives an explanation that, for example, you have a man, different depending on the job that he has, his oina with his wife is going to be various frequencies. Every day, twice a week, once a month, etc. So you could have where, for example, he might get a job that will keep him away from home longer, but and therefore they'll have less opportunity for tashmish, less oina, but on the other hand, it'll bring in more of an income. So we're saying she'd rather stick with the smaller income and have her husband available more often rather than a larger income where he's going to become a donkey driver, a camel driver, a sailor, or what have you, and be out of town for longer amounts of time. Tosfos gives another long, elaborate explanation over here based on certain dinim in Ksubis about cases of the minimum amount that a husband has to supply his wife with food versus cases where the man refuses to have tashmish with his wife, so then we keep on adding amounts to her Ksuba over time, and she would rather, even though the amounts that are added to her Ksuba eventually can add up to a significant amount, she would prefer not to have that because that involves precious. Maharshal says, you know, also it can just mean, you know, the same way as the Gemara, for example, the famous Gemara in Kiddushin about a sota kabin, 10 kabin of this and 10 kabin of that and so forth came down to the world, and each one with a 9 such and such took, and the other one, he said the same way over here, the Gemara may be using the Mishnah may be using the words kab and tisha kabin, just in that sense, not necessarily to specifically mean an actual calculation of 1 versus 9. But again, the point is, Rabbi Yeshua is saying, given that women have a natural desire for tiflus, for being close physically and emotionally with their husbands, then therefore they would rather not have their husband be away more than necessary, but also for that reason, therefore, learning Torah doesn't really mesh well with that, and therefore, like Rabbi Yehuda says, better not to teach them. Okay, so the Gemara continues, Piska, continuing further from the Mishnah, Hu ha-yo'ayma chosid shoyt evachola, that Rabbi Yeshua also used to say that there's a number of types of people who ruin the world. He listed a chosid shoita, a rosha oro, the Gemara is going to give examples of all of them now, a rosha oro, a sneaky rosha, the isha prusha, a woman who acts in a way of precious. Here we're saying that women would rather have tiflos to hear where she acts in a way that's seemingly against that, umakis prushim, and the wounds of prushim. So he says, harei elam achale, or mevale olam, these are people who wear out and destroy the world. So let's define what each of them is. So heichi dami chosid shoyta. First of all, what's the example of a chosid shoyta? So if we're going to tova itza benara, suppose a woman is drowning in a river, va'omer, and he says to himself, loy masik nala, I'm not going to pull her out, mishum tukam miskakil na be'erva, because then I'm going to look at erva where I shouldn't be looking. That's the Ein Yaakov's girsa, the Gemara, the printed Gemara's girsa is different, but amounts to the same thing. Lav oirach aralis to kuli bavatzulis. Not derech eretz to look at her and to save her, but that's chasidus shal shtus, because what do you mean? That obviously, pikuach nefesh is doicha such considerations. Tosfos brings from the Yerushalmi another example of a chosid shoyta would be, he's a child drowning in a river and he's wearing tefillin, as people used to wear tefillin during much of the day, and he thinks to himself, if I go in with the tefillin, then I'm going to ruin, so let me take off my tefillin first, and meanwhile, Rahman al-San, the kid drowns. So these are the kinds of things called chosid shoyta. Next, the Rosha Orum Hechidomi. What is an example of Rosha Orum? So a few examples. First one, Hechidomi Rosha Orum, Omer Abchanina or Yochanan. The first one is the Hamatim Dvarav Ladayan Kodim Shiyoved Baal Din Chaveri. A person explains his side of a Din Torah to a Dayan before the other person shows up. Now, your first impressions are always the strongest, so therefore the Dayan is going to get into his head what this person said, and now when the other person comes and says differently, then it's going to be very hard for the Dayan to shake his initial impression. Now, this kind of thing is actually awesome in HaTorah. The Baal Din who comes and does that, Rashi points out, is over on the mitzvah in the Torah, Loisisa Shem Ashov, which has a number of different meanings, one of them being exactly that you're not allowed to go tell the Dayan in advance. Now, the question is, in that case, then isn't the Dayan a Rosha for listening as well? So there's a couple of answers. One answer is that we could be talking about where the Dayan doesn't know yet at the time that he's going to be judging this Din Torah. So therefore, he's listening, he doesn't know that this guy is planning things and is putting together a whole strategy where afterwards he's going to have this Rav as his Dayan and so forth. The other, Ben Yoyada says somewhat along the same lines, you could even have where this Rosh Orum pretends like he's just coming to learn Torah, and in the course of the learning, he brings up this case and makes it sound like it's just theoretically what would happen in such and such a case, and meanwhile he's getting into the Dayan's head the idea the Dayan is going to tell him in such a case, then the person will be Potter or whatever, and he'll learn from that, and he'll already have the ability to insinuate into the Dayan's head that later on, yeah. Okay. So that's one answer. Rabbi Bohu Omer. Rabbi Bohu gives another answer. Zanosin prutal oni lashlim la masayim zuz. The din is a person can take tzedakah only if he has less than 200 zuz to his name. So suppose a person has under 200 zuz, and somebody gives him a pruta, and now brings him up to 200, now he prevents him from getting tzedakah. So this is a rosha orum, he's a crafty, sneaky rosha, that he's giving the guy a pruta, and because of that now he can't take any tzedakah. The famous vort on it that says the word tzedakah is gematria 199. So therefore that's that hint at the point that when a person has 199 he can get tzedakah, but when he has 200 he can't. Ditznan, as we learn in a Mishnah in Peah, Mishi Yeshlem Asayim Zuz, person has 200 Zuz, Lo Yitzel Lecha Chikol Peah or Maiser Ani, then he's not allowed to take any of these matnas on him. Hoyol Asayim Zuz Choser Echad, but if he has 199, Afilo Elef Noisim Leke Echad, Areze Yitzel, then even if they offer him 1,000 Zuz at one time, he's allowed to take it. So therefore now, a person giving him a prutta is preventing him from doing that. Tosfos actually brings from a Yerushalmi that there was one time a Talmud of Rebbe where exactly that happened with. Some Talmudim, Rebbe used to give this Talmud of his every year. He would give him his mite every 3 years. He'd give him his mite oni, which was being Rebbe, he was very rich. That was quite a lot. Some of the other Talmudim got jealous of this one Talmud. So one time they come and offer him one zuz, and then when the Talmud counts his money, he sees he has 200, and now he's very upset. He's not going to be able to get the mite oni. So he tells Rebbe what happened. So he tells Rebbe, now I have 200, and Rebbe figured out what happened to Bekitzer. He tells some of his other Talmudim, go take this guy to a restaurant and have him spend at least a zuz over there. And then when he comes back, then he sees Taki, he only has 199, good, then I can give you my Maaser Oni like always. Okay, so we'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, with more examples of Rosh Arum. Okay, Yom Yom Mashiach Ha'Go'ola. Be Moshe Mashiach, the halacha is going to be like this Shammai. Now, why is that? The Torah is always like the Hemuchlefet, but the nature of the Seichel of Chachmei Yisrael will be different. Until before then, the idea was, why is the halacha like this Hillel? Because the Chachamim found Beis Hillel's arguments more compelling, more logically compelling, and more that they work out better according to the logic of Torah. But now, Lassid Lavai, their shikol adas will change because the world itself will be on a higher level in Yemos HaMashiach, like this Shammai, and therefore, so that'll be, because we have a higher level of Torah being revealed, as we know, Beis Shammai Mechadid Itzei, they were sharper in Torah, so the whole Jewish people will have Torah Chadoshim, Iti Teitzei, will have the deeper secrets of the Torah, and those are higher even than Beer of the world, so therefore, so that'll prevent that inyon and bilti ritzurim from happening. But therefore, at that point, the world is able to handle Beis Shammai's opinion, and therefore, the halacha will be able to be like Beis Shammai.
Thank you.
Okay, continuing with halachas of Yom Tov, you made dough on Yom Tov, you're allowed to take challah from it, but you can't burn the challah on Yom Tov because you can't burn kodshim on Yom Tov. This is true of noiser, it's true of challah. Now, you also can't bake it because not roi lachila, we're all tummy mess, and nobody can eat the challah. Strictly speaking, the Alter Rebbe says, with challah of chutz la'aretz, there are places where they do give it to a kohen to eat, and then you'd be allowed to bake it. But lamaisa, I don't think anybody does that nowadays. It would also be to move because you can't eat it; it would be mukta. So therefore, you're going to have to, while you have it in your hand, after you take challah, you'd have to put it someplace safe until motzei Yom Tov, and then you'll burn it. What about if you made the dough out of Yom Tov? Then you can't take challah on Yom Tov. Then instead, what you have to do is leave some of the bread. You bake the bread without taking challah. Then afterwards, you take out a piece of bread, and afterwards, you take off a slice of the bread, and then you cut out a piece of that for challah. So you have to do that. The rule is you have to have shirei nikorin, so you can eat the rest of the challah, but you have to have one slice left over out of which you will take challah and then have some of it left over, and that in chutz la'aretz such a thing is valid, and so you can do it that way if you made the dough out of Yom Tov and now you're first trying to take challah from it on Yom Tov.